Keter in Menachem Zaymim, how are Edim going to be fulfilled the punishment of getting Hazama as they planned? And we're going to explain later that this is how we're going to fulfill it in the not normal way. If we have an example of Midon Bishlani, people testified against a certain person, Shuben Gusha Ben Chalutza. Here's a Kayin Chalal, because his mother got divorced at a specific time, and then she married a Kayin and had this child. We don't say that the Kat Edim become Chalalim instead of him. Elalaika Abayim. The Kat becomes Chayiv and Malkus instead. That is the default punishment for Edim Zaymin. Midon Bishlani, Shu Chayiv Lagalus. Another example. If they testify about a murderer that he killed somebody, but Shagig and has to run to Galus. We don't say that the Edom Zaymim run to Galus in his place. Rather, they get Malkus. We have a problem with the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Kate said, hey, Edom Zaymim, how do we fulfill Azam? And then, rather, we're giving examples of how it is not fulfilled. So, how Kate said, Eno, Edom Zaymim, should say, how Edom not getting their Azam. A second problem. Later on, we describe how to properly do Azam. If you're telling me how to create, how to turn people into Edom Zaymim, if that's what our Mishnah means, we have a different description of how that happens later on. That if you tell the first cat, how could you have testified, but this day you were with us in a different place? That's how you turn the first group into Edom Zaymim. So I have a mission that describes how to turn people into Edom Zaymim, and our mission is not describing how we're punishing the Edom Zaymim with Hazama. So our mission's language seems off. The Tana is going back from a sect of Sanhedrin, where it says, all Edom Zaymim can get up in the morning expecting to get the exact same death that they planned for their victim, except for people who planned against a Bas Koyin who committed adultery with another man, that she and he get two different punishments. She gets Sreifa and he gets Chenek, and even though they plan to give her Sreifa, they don't get Sreifa, they get Chenek. So here we have an example of Edom Zaymim who don't get the exact type of death that they planned. And based on that Mishnah, our Mishnah now continues and says, there's another type of Edom that don't get at all what they planned. They default into getting 40 Malkas instead. And Kate said, what is the example where they don't get what they planned at all? And they get Malkus instead. How do I know that they do not become Chalalim? We're going to have two Pshatim. We're going to knock off one and go back to the first. You should do to him as he planned. And we darshan only do to him. We should only punish the Edim and not the rest of his family. And if you're going to make them Chalalim, you're defiling all the children and the generations after him from being Koyanim. That's very nice. That's the reason not to make them Chalalim. But why don't we just do a customized Chilul? Let's passel the Edim Zaymim themselves. And Taka, don't passel the children. Let it not have the ripple effect upon the kids. You have to fulfill what they planned against the victim, which is to hurt the victim's whole family and his entire lineage. Veleka. And if you don't punish the Edom's children, so then it's not a fulfillment of Kasha Zoma. So on the one hand, we could only punish them and not the kids. On the other hand, if we don't punish the kids, then it's not fulfilling what they planned. So therefore, they're sandwiched in between two different options that don't work, and Mamela, they get Malkus instead. So the Gemara, by Pradoimer, gives a different reason why they do not become Chalolim. So the Gemara, it's a Kavo Choymer. Who marries a Grusha? He himself does not become Nischalel. He affects Chilul on his children, while he himself is not affected. Habalachal of Leichilal, Edom Zaymim, who attempt to make somebody into a Chilul, and it fails because they get caught. So if just attempting to make someone a Chilul, and it doesn't work, ain't a dinch leis Chilul, isn't it all the more so that they should not get affected by it? If someone's successful in producing Chilul by marrying a Grusha, does not get affected himself. Say Edom Zaymim who only attempted to make somebody into a kollel. Certainly, they should not be affected by it. Zagdin Gemara, I'm asking Ravina, he slugs it up. Im Kain, if this is your process, that you're going to say that Edom Zaymim that fail should be treated lighter, then batal the Torah's Edom Zaymim. Then you're entirely ruining the entire system of Edom Zaymim. Because according to you, we should say, Ma Seikel Einan Iskel, Madach, if Edom Zaymim are successful in stoning their victim, they don't get stoned because we have a rule, Kashazaman Velay Kashavasa. They only get what they planned, but not what they did. So if someone is successful in stoning their victim, doesn't get stoned, Habal Iskel Velay Zakel, if Edom Zaymim get caught before they get to stone the victim, Einan Ishlay Zakel, well, the more so, they should not get stoned. And it's not true. We know that when they plan it and fail, they do get stoned. So you see that the system of Edom Zaymim is that an attempted, a failed attempt gets treated worse than success. So your Kavu Chaymer doesn't work. Edom Zaymim is an exclusion to the general rules of logic. We have to go back. It's very clear, like the first pshat, that the reason why is we're sandwiched in between two options that don't work. You can't do Kasha Zomam to affect his kids because we have a din of loy v'loy lazaroy. And if you don't affect his kids, then it's not kashas zomim. It's not what he planned against his victim. And therefore, none of those options will work. So he gets malchus instead. So the Gemara, when they testify against the guy that killed by mistake and he's chayv galus, how do I know that they don't go into galus and they get malchus instead? Amir shlakish dam akra, the pasuk says, hu yanus al akas ha'orim. Only he, the murderer, runs to the cities of refuge. Who? He runs to the city of that refuge. V'lay Zaymim. Edom Zaymim, don't run. Rabbi Yechanan Amar, Kavu Chaymer. Rabbi Yechanan says, again, a similar approach to what we said before. Kavu Chaymer. Mahu she'asa ma'isim amazim. Malach, a guy who actually killed somebody. If he incorporates intention into his actions, and he does it on purpose, ain't a goyle, he doesn't go to galus. So Hain, Edom Zaymimim, Shalayazum Aiza, number one, they didn't actually do an act of murder. And they did plug in intention into what they were doing. It was bemazed. So if a guy who actually kills plugs in intention, does not go to galus, they who didn't even kill, certainly their intention should prevent them from going to galus. Ain't it in Shalayigalu? So Gemara, one second. Adarabba, v'hiyani zenes. That in itself should be a reason, perhaps, that they should go to galus. Why? Who's awesome? I said, amazing. Leligli, the guy who actually murdered, and he did it with intent. He doesn't get galus because galus is an opportunity of kapara. And if he actually killed somebody and he had intent, we don't want him to get that kapara. He actually like to have a late kapara. But Hain, that they are less responsible because they didn't actually kill somebody. But they who did not actually do an act of murder, they just testified against somebody and they had intent, since they're less than the murderer himself, maybe we should give them the opportunity of galus. They should get galus. Maybe they should have the opportunity of kapara because they're less than the murderer himself. So the Kal Chomer again is shown to be faulty, and Ela Machvar to get Rish Lakish. It's clear, like the first shot we said from Rish Lakish, and that was a pasuk that says, "Hu Yanus." Only he, the murderer, runs to Galus, and not Edom Zaymim. Amula. Ula says, "Remez Edom Zaymim not Toyim Anayim." Where is there a hint in the Torah to Edom Zaymim getting punished? Zagdi Gemara, Remez, you're looking for a hint? Remez Leidim Zaymim? It's an open pasuk. You don't have to look for hints. That's he's unlike Kasha Zama. It's an open pasuk to do what he planned. Ella, what was he saying? What hint was he looking for? Ella Remez Leidim Zaymim Shalakim and Atayra. How do we know? Where's there a hint that Edim Zaymim default into getting Malkus? Minayin. How do we know that that's the default punishment when you cannot fulfill Azama? The pasuk says, that when we go to Bezdin, and Bezdin makes righteous the righteous one, and makes wicked the wicked one, eventually the Rasha will be deserving of Malkus. One second. Every time Bezdin makes somebody right and the other guy wrong, the wrong guy gets Malkus. It happens to be that in most situations where there's two people involved in a case, it's a Benanum L'Chaveroi and there's a right guy and a wrong guy, you don't get Malkus. Most Benanum L'Chaveroi, there's no Malkus for. So what does it mean that the right guy's right, the wrong guy's wrong, and the wrong guy's going to eventually get Malkus? What does it mean he's a Ben HaKos HaRasha? Just because one's right and the other guy's wrong, the wrong guy gets Malkus? Ella, rather, we have to touch up the pasuk differently. And this is what the remez. Edim. We're talking about a case where there were Edim who already tried to make one guy right and one guy wrong. And Edim she was a tzaddik. These Edim that first came in and testified falsely, and they made a good guy look bad. And now a second cat of Edim come and disprove the first cat. Thereby, Hitzdiku as a tzaddik. They made the right guy right again, and they made the wrong guy wrong again. Who's the wrong guy? We're not talking about a case anymore between a din Torah of a good guy and a bad guy. We're talking about Adim, who testified against a good person to say that he deserved the punishment. And now a second pair of Adim ruined the first pair of Adim, and thereby they made the right guy right. And now the Adim Zoymimim are wrong. And they turn the first cat of Edom into wicked. In that case, the wicked people, which are the Edom Zoymim, are deserving of Ben Akkos. They're deserving of Malkus. This is a remez that Edom Zoymim default into getting Malkus. In fact, Gemara, why do I need this remez with the default? Why don't we just say that they get Malkus for a classic loisase? Why don't they just get Malkus for transgressing one of Naseres Adibris, which is against testifying falsely, and for transgressing a loisase, the Raisa, they should get Malkus. And for the Gemara, Mishum Dava Lavsha, Ein by Maisa. Loisana Reach Shaker is a Lavsha by Maisa. It's verbal. It's not considered an action. And therefore, you don't get Malkus. V'chol Lavsha Ein by Maisa, Ein like an Olav. So therefore, from that pasuk itself, I would not say that Edom Zoymim default into Malkus. And I need a separate remez for it. Tan Rabbana. There are four unique things that were said about Edom Zoymim. Number one is they're excluded from becoming halalim when they testify falsely against their friend. They're excluded from running into the city of refuge when they testify falsely about a murderer. If they testify falsely that an animal killed someone, which normally is mechayev the owner to pay kofer, they don't pay kofer if they testify falsely. And also if they testify falsely about a guy that he stolen, doesn't have money to pay back, even though they were trying to get the guy sold, they don't get sold as an Eved Ivri. And we're going to see details about this soon. So Gemara, we have a fifth thing added, Mishum Rabbi Akiva Amru, Avim Mishalman Rabbi Atzman. Another thing that's interesting about Edom Zoymim is that they do not pay, they do not get punished based on their own admission, which again, we're going to get to the details of this later on. And now we're going to go through all of these cases. Number one, Ein Asim Ben Grusha Ben Chalusa, we said they do not become Chalalim, that we've already learned about Kidda Amran, like we mentioned earlier, Kasheh Zomam. They have to about see some loy kashe zamam and not their children, and it has to be kashe zamam and no less. So they're sandwiched in between and they end up getting malchus, but they don't become kalalim. Ingrid and Lori and Miklod, we said they do not go into the Ir Miklod Kedu Amran. We have the drash of Huyanus, only the murderer runs. Ain Mashalman is a koifer. If they testify falsely that a guy's axe killed somebody and they were trying to get him to pay koifer, they don't pay koifer to their false victim. Kasavri, it must be that this shita holds kufra kapara. Koifer is coming to atone for a death of a person. There was no death over here for the Edom Zoymim to pay atonement money for. They tried to make a guy pay money, but they didn't do something. There was no death involved for anyone to need an atonement, and therefore the Edom Zoymim don't pay. Man Tana Kufa Kapara, who is it that holds Koifer is a Kapara? At first the Gemara assumes that it's only one opinion, but we're going to end up showing that it actually everyone holds of it. Who holds Kufra is Kapara? It's atonement, and it's not just a monetary compensation. Amar Rav Chista, Rav Yishmael, B'naish, Rav Yogan, Mebraikohi. Rav Chista says, it's Rav Yishmael, the son of Rav Yogan, Mebraikohi. The Tani, we're looking at the Pasuk says, V'nosem Pidyon Avshai, that the person whose axe killed somebody has to give a redemption of his soul, Demei Nizik. You pay, what's the redemption of the soul? The value of the murdered person, the value of the killed person. That's the words. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shmuel ben Naish, Rabbi Yochanan ben Reiko, Eimer, Demei Mazik. You pay the owner of the axe's value. So in Gemara, we're assuming the machlokes of how much to pay is based on if it's compensation or atonement. My lab b'hokim miflagi. Why don't we assume that they're arguing about this? My sava kufra b'mamayna. Why don't we assume that the Tanakhama that says that you're paying the value of the victim is because it's compensation for his loss, the loss of this life? Or my sava kufra kapara. And Rabbi Shmuel, who says you paid the value of the mazik is to atone for the mazik's sin. Truthfully, everybody holds that koifer is atonement. It's not compensation. So therefore, everyone holds, like we said before, that Edom Zoymim will not pay koifer because koifer is kapara. And what are they arguing about? It's plain and simple. How much to pay? How much to pay is an argument. Do you pay the value of the victim or the value of the mazik? But everyone agrees that the payment is not compensation. It's atonement money. So my time is the Rabbanan. What's the reason the Rabbanan say to pay the value of the victim? Nemar hashos salamata v'nemar hashos alamata. When the Torah speaks about placing this fine upon the person to pay, hashatza means to place a fine on someone, and it says it in one parsha in the Torah, and it says it again in the next parsha of the Torah. One of them is talking about kofer, and one of them is talking about the loss of life to, when a baby dies. I think when somebody was in a fight with a friend and he threw a stone and it hit a woman instead and she miscarried. So there's also, it says, a lashon of kasher yashis. A fine is placed on him to pay the value of the baby that was born still, that had a miscarriage. So the lashon hashasa, to place this fine, talks about the victim, the baby of that was born dead. And it speaks about placing a fine for an axe killing a person, and we dodge in one from the other, just like by the baby paying the value of the baby, so too we're going to pay the value of the nizik when an axe kills somebody. That's the drasha of the Tanakhama of the Rabbanon, that you pay the value of the victim. It says an expression of placing this fine in the sugya below, which is kaifer, and it says hashasa lamayla in the sugya above, which is discussing the loss of a baby. Mala halam benizik, just like earlier it was speaking about the nizik, afkam and the nizik, so also in the topic spoken about later, which is kaifer, it's the nizik's value. Rabbi Shmuel, but nasam bidyan abjekts, if Rabbi Shmuel says you pay the value of the mazik, because it's speaking in the subject of the pasuk is the mazik, and it says he should pay the regentum of his soul. And the assumption is if we're talking the subject is the mazik, so then his soul refers to the mazik. Rabbanon, so what do they do? Attack of the pshat and the pasuk, the subject is the mazik. When it says pidyan nafshi, it's a redemption of his soul. What do they do with the his soul? So like, we're in pidyan nafshi. Yes, of course it's a redemption of his soul, but how much is going to be the atonement for his soul? The amount is defined by what we learned earlier by the Dmei Vladois, and therefore the amount you pay is the value of the victim. When we estimate the value, but in this example, we estimate the value of the victim. We said that Edom Zaymim do not get sold. So Rav Nuna thought to say that when are Edom Zaymim not sold, when they testify against somebody that he stole money, assuming he had enough money to pay for what they claim he stole, so they never really intended him to be sold as a slave in the first place, because he was a millionaire and they were just trying to get him to pay for what he stole. So therefore, they also would not be sold as an eved, because that's not what they planned for their victim. So when their victim had money to pay, so then demigu to Elon is daven, just like their victim never would have been sold as an eved, he just would have paid. So they also will not get sold as an eved ivri, even if they personally don't have money to pay for it. We're not going to sell them because that's not what they planned. Aval, but Rav Nuna thought, if their victim Taka was poor and could no way pay for the amount of money they claim he stole, so they were intending for him to get sold. Even if they themselves have enough cash to pay up the amount of money that they're testifying about, still misdavnu, it would be fitting that they should be sold. They were trying to sell their victim because they were claiming he stole a lot more than the money that he has, so then they should be sold regardless of the fact that they have enough money to pay for it. That's what he thought to say. Let the witnesses tell him. One second. The psakdin we paid upon you was really a psakdin of reimbursing someone for stealing a huge amount of money. And if you would have the money to pay and reimburse who we're claiming that you stole from, you would not have been sold. So then built into our testimony against you wasn't that you should be sold. Our testimony against you was to reimburse the person that we claim you stole from. If you have money, you wouldn't have to be sold. And since we have money, we should not be sold. So we should not get sold. So therefore, Enochanami, even in a case where they intentionally wanted to get the guy sold because they claimed he stole $1 billion and he doesn't have that, safe, if they have that amount of money, they should not have to get sold, because it, potentially if he would have had the money, he would not get sold. So they who do have the money should not get sold. Ella, Savar Abamunulameimar, Rabbi. Rav Amunah never had such a avamina. What did he think to say? He thought to say that if this is just based on logic of Kasher Zomam, without a special pasuk excluding them from being sold, then I would have said, just with the logic of Kasher Zomam, if either one, their victim or the Edom, have money, they should not get sold. But if both their victim and the Edom themselves don't have money, then what goes around comes around. They were trying to get him sold, and they also can't pay to reimburse him, so they should get sold. If their victim does not have the money to pay for the amount they claim he stole, and they don't have money to pay for the amount, so then l'chayra, logic would dictate, they should get sold. And on that, Rava says, no. This is not based on logic of Kesher Zomam. It's a specific miut. It's an exclusion from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, by the sale of Bezdin for somebody that stole, it says, v'nimkar b'gneva. Say, he is sold for his stealing. The Torah says, a person is sold only for what he stole. But Edim Zaymimim, who incur a fee for testifying against somebody, bottom line is they never stole. So you Bezdin cannot sell somebody unless it's for something they stole and not for other chiyuvim, other damages. So the Rabbi Kiva says that Edim Zaymimim also do not get punished based on their own admission. My time, Rabbi Kiva. Why does Rabbi Kiva say Edim Zaymimim don't get punished for their own admission? Because he holds that Edim Zaymimim's punishment is a knas. The rule of thumb is whenever we're dealing with a fine, and it's not just a reimbursement, fines never are paid with your own admission. Amar Abba, Teda, I'll prove to you that Edim Zaymimim's punishment is a fine. Without them actually doing anything to their victim, they end up getting punished with death or payments. So you see clearly that it's a fine and not reimbursement, because the victim never actually ended up getting hurt. Of Rav Nachman, I'll prove to you as well, Teda, when they testify against somebody falsely and they end up getting caught, the owner, the victim that they testified, gets back his money. He's still holding on to his money. He didn't actually incur any loss. And still the Edim Zaymimim have to pay him. So we see from here, this payment that Edim Zaymimim are doing, or the punishment that they're getting, is obviously a fine and not a reimbursement. What Rav Nachman said is the same thing. The exact same thing that Rabba says, that they didn't actually fulfill their plans, is the same thing what Rav Nachman said, that the money's still in the hands of the victim. So what's the difference? You're right. Rav Nachman, you're right. They were just saying the same thing.